Good morning, everybody. My name is Brandon, one of the pastors here. It's great to be with you this Sunday morning. We've got a couple updates for you before we dive into our scripture today. This last July, we took an offering for flood relief buckets to India. They had some incredible monsoon rains this summer, and they've been cleaning up since then. And we sent enough dollars for almost 100 flood relief kits. This week, we got a video of what happened, what those relief kits look like. So you're going to see the floodwaters, the damage they did, and then the kits that your funds provided. So watch this. I cannot imagine trying to clean up from those kind of mudslides. So thank you so much for letting God work through you and provide those flood relief buckets. As we continue to be the church of impact, the church on mission in the world, I'll keep bringing you updates as I get them. The impact offering this month is for international relief via the United Methodist Committee on Relief, UMCOR. It's our relief arm. So we feel like you want to give to help relieve some of the international disasters we've seen of earthquakes and monsoons and hurricanes. You can do so by writing on your check. It's for Legacy. You can write Impact Offering on there, or you can hop online. You can give to the Impact Offering there. Our one thing that I'm reminded of constantly, because every single Sunday you keep bringing in more canned fruit, the cart might almost be full, and we're only halfway through the month, which is incredible. It is canned fruit for the Bismarck Emergency Food Pantry. Our kids are going to be doing a mission project to take that to the pantry and restock it. They're going to take the peanut butter and jelly from last month. Our students are headed out this week to Watford City. They're a couple of days off. They're going to do a little mission trip out in Watford City, helping them get ready for winter. And I did have a couple of adults sign up to do the training in Mitchell this week, which means in the near future, we should be providing an opportunity for all of us older folks to take a mission trip down to Houston and help do some hurricane relief hands-on. So I'll keep you posted on that also. Now's a great time to grab that Connect card. Take just a minute to fill it out. Sign in. Let us know you're worshiping with us today. Take just a minute to fill it out. Tear it off. Drop it in the offering plate a little later during worship. If you're a first-time guest, we're so glad you decided to come worship with us today. As a first-time guest, please pick one of those mission organizations. We're going to donate in your name, in your honor to that organization. Just by being here this morning, you've made a difference. And as you've heard, we are a church that wants to make an impact in the world for Jesus. In the back of that card, there's a spot for prayer requests. We'd be honored to pray with you and for you with whatever is going on in your life this week. We as a staff pray over those all week. And last is a spot for you to take notes today. We're going to be going through some things you're probably going to find very interesting. So in addition to God speaking to you, God challenged you to take a step of faith this week, that is a good spot for you to take notes as we walk through step two of the Legacy Onward Project today. We are exploring God's four next steps for Legacy. We are all challenged throughout this month to evaluate all of our giving to Legacy, and in particular, to pray and discern what God is calling us to do with this Legacy Onward project. You've got a commitment card, you've got a handout that details one of the four steps, and like last week, we're not looking for anybody to make a commitment today. They are prayer cards. They're for you to take home, to pray about, to discuss, and we'll bring our commitments together in about a month, on November 12th. Now remember, the commitments that we're all called to make together, they are over 3 years. So don't be surprised as you pray and discuss that God might be challenging you to a mount larger than you think, because these are commitments over 3 years and not one. Last week, Kermit explored step one, the legacy we received, this amazing 120-year-old DNA that we are all a part of that calls us to take new steps, to do new things, to try and to keep reaching new people for Jesus. We're challenged to retire our debt in step one, to finish what we started, but to remember that we will never be finished reaching more people for Christ. This week, we're remembering that we are a people called today, in the present, to build the legacy that God desires. Now, getting us into our message today, today is also second grade Bible Sunday. I think, is Tatum in the room? Tatum, our second grader, was going to read our scripture. Hey! All right. I can hold it for you. This is our scripture from Psalm this morning.
Psalm chapter 78, verses 1 through 7. O my people, listen to my instructions. Open your ears to what I'm saying. For I will speak in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past stories we've had heard and known. Stories our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. For he issued his laws to Jacob. He gave his instructions to Israel. He commanded our ancestors to teach them to the children, so the next generation might know them, even the children not born yet. And they in turn will teach their own children. So each generation should set its hope anew on God, not forgetting his glorious miracles and obeying his commands.
That's absolutely fantastic. Thanks, Tatum. You can go. Nicely done. So this psalm reminds us of the importance of stories. To not just tell our favorite stories because we like telling stories, but to tell stories so that the next generation will know what the Lord has done, done in the past and done in our own lives. I love stories, all kinds of stories. This is a shot of our movie drawer at home. From the left, you're going to notice I'm a fan of science fiction movies, and as you go over, there's action-adventure films. There's even a romantic comedy in there, just to mix it up, a couple of those. The whole right side of your screen is mostly Disney and Pixar movies. I have children now, so that gives me great cover to own them. But in full disclosure, Vicky and I had those movies before we had kids even. So I'm a fan and a sucker of a great story. I'm not really a big fan of horror movies. I know some of you really are. I've never really gotten into them, nor has my wife. We went to the newest Ghostbusters movie last year, and Vicky couldn't sleep because she saw a trailer for a different horror movie. So our family is just not big into horror. I have a feeling a lot of us love stories. There are many of us, I'm going to guess, that have fire pits in our backyards. The parsonage that we moved from, just after we moved, they installed the fire pit, which, that's a bummer. This is not a subtle plug to put a fire pit into our current parsonage. We love our house, but I will say there is a natural gas hookup in the backyard, so just saying. Now, what happens, though, when we gather around a fire? We start telling stories. We start telling funny stories and sad stories and scary stories, things that move our hearts and bond us to one another. We are all fans of great stories. The question for us facing us today is this. We all love stories, but what is our defining story? What is the primary narrative? What is the story by which you live your life? What story gives you your morals, your values, your life mission, your ultimate purpose? That's a defining story. What story helps you face tough times? How does your story help you figure out why there is so much pain and suffering in the world and where God is in and all of that? There are all kinds of stories in the world to live your life by. And the one that is the biggest and the primary in our part of the world is consumerism. It's materialism. This story defines us by how much stuff we have. We are worth more if we have more. We are worth less if we have less. Our ultimate life mission in consumerism and in materialism, it's to buy and to buy and to buy, enjoy everything this life has to offer because there is nothing after death. This is it. We can also let our lives be defined by a different story. We can let our lives be defined by horrific and awful events that happen to us. We experience great pain and suffering by the hands of others or simply losing loved ones. Our defining story becomes reliving these painful moments over and over again every day, and we get stuck there. Our purpose becomes reliving horrible events in our lives. Is that your defining story today? For the Israelites, their defining story is from our psalm this morning. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about his power and his mighty wonders. Their defining story, what was God has done for them and is doing for them. And their primary story was the Exodus story, Moses leading the Israelites out of Egypt, out of slavery. That's the primary one. But they told all of them that we have in our scriptures. They had been slaves for generations in Egypt. They could have easily made their defining story one of slavery, one of becoming a defeated people. This was simply what they were going to be. They were destined to just serve the Egyptians for the rest of their lives. But they didn't make that their defining story. They clung on to hope. They told stories about the glorious deeds of everything the Lord had done. And because of those stories, they were ready when Moses came and told them God was setting them free. They resisted the defining story of slavery, and the Lord did amazing things for them, with them, and around them. Now, while this Exodus story is the primary story, there's all kinds of others that they shared in our Bibles. Stories of God coming through in the darkest of moments when all hope seemed lost. No matter what the culture around the Israelites prioritized and valued, no matter if they were exiled from their home, they were disconnected from everything that they used to know, their defining story, no matter what, is the incredible things God has done for them and will continue to do for them in the future. They retold the same stories generation after generation, so more and more Israelites would choose to serve the Lord and the Lord alone. Today, we live in an era of history where fewer and fewer people come to church, where they might find their defining story in Jesus Christ. And they might instead have their defining story be consumerism or materialism or atheism, there is no God, or agnosticism. God may or may not exist, you kind of hedge your bets, but God doesn't really matter every day. You need to understand how unusual we are, how unusual Legacy is still growing in 2017. We are a mission outpost that reminds everybody there is more to this life than what we see. There really is a God who loves us, seen perfectly in Jesus. He wants a relationship with us every day. No matter the cultural winds or the preferences at any given moment, we will stand here and declare God exists. Jesus loves you and wants to bring a full and abundant life to you today. You'll need to make changes, but the Holy Spirit is there to help you have that full and abundant life Jesus wants for you. We state our defining story for Legacy like this in our vision statement. Let's read it together. Because of the legacy we've received, we build the legacy God desires to leave the legacy the world needs. So the legacy God desires, what we do today in the present, actually has very little to do with buildings. We understand that our building is simply a tool for the people of God to gather and to bring new people to Jesus. God wants us to build a movement of people fully devoted to Christ in all of our actions, in all of our behaviors. Joshua takes over the leadership of the Israelites from Moses. Moses leads them out of slavery in Egypt. He dies, and Joshua helps them start to conquer the promised land that had been promised generations before. In Joshua's final speech to the Israelites, he reminds them of the legacy God wants to build in them. And he reminds them of this legacy couched in a warning. This is a little bit from Joshua 23. "Soon I will die," says Joshua, "going the way of everything on earth. Deep in your hearts, you know that every promise of the Lord your God has come true. Not a single one has failed. If you break the covenant of the Lord your God by worshiping and serving other gods, his anger will burn against you. You will quickly vanish from the good land he has given you." The legacy Joshua wanted for the Israelites, what God still wants from us today, is to worship and to serve the Lord alone. There should be nothing else at the center of our lives, no other defining story that defines everything that we are, except worshiping and serving God alone. That's it. That is the legacy Joshua wanted. That is the legacy we seek to build in every generation that has come under our care for the last 120 years, a group of people that are worshiping and serving the Lord alone. Our building is a tool to tell the stories to the Lord of to all the generations and the generations that are yet to come. Last November, our administrative team had a retreat where we looked at our facility, we looked at our own internal numbers, our projections, and we looked at Bismarck's internal numbers and projections as well. And this is what we found. How is our facility doing? How is it gonna help us into the future as we keep telling the stories of everything the Lord has done? Last year, Bismarck's population was estimated at 83,952. This would include everything east of the river, so not Mandan, Lincoln, as well as probably a few miles outside of Bismarck. In 5 years, our population will be over 90,000 people. And by 2026, I'll be in my 40s, and our population will be over 100,000. We'll pass the six-digit mark. The top four fastest-growing areas of town are Boulder Ridge, right behind me, Promontory Point, just a little ways from us, Northeast Bismarck by Sunrise Elementary School, and Lincoln. We are in an incredible spot to reach three of those four areas from this place alone. And we'll tell you a little bit more about Lincoln next week. So as we explored our facility, as we looked at our spots where we gather on Sundays and Wednesdays, we found the sanctuary and the kids area were plenty large, sufficient room for growth in the near future. We average about 406 people in worship this year in three worship services. In this room, we can easily accommodate 300 people in every service before we have to look to add another. For some perspective, just before we moved in here, we averaged 285 people in worship. We've gone from 285 to 406. We've grown 40% in just about 4 years, which is incredible. At some point in the next few years, our 10:30 kids hour is going to push us to try a third service. Notice not our worship attendance, because we have plenty of room in here, but our 10:30 kids hour may force us to another service because they continue to keep growing and kids keep coming. Now, our pinch point today is student ministry space, and specifically, it is middle school. There are many times that more than 50 middle school students and their leaders gather in that room on a Wednesday night that was originally designed for at most 25 high school students. Originally, the middle schoolers met in Legacy Kids in what is now our fourth and fifth grade space. They quickly grew out of that one, and they moved over here, and now they're growing out of this one. If this sounds at all similar to the conversation we've had about our public schools, that's not an accident. Now, one of my favorite maxims in church building is this. It is to do all that you can to maximize your mission and to minimize brick, meaning you need to build only when we can't find some other way to meet that solution. Vicky and Sam have done just this. They've spread out the middle school students, and some middle schoolers come on Sunday mornings, and some only attend on Wednesday nights, and some do cross over to both. But not only is Wednesday growing, so is Sunday. Even on Sunday mornings right now, there are 30 middle schoolers plus on a Sunday morning. We're at that point, if one or two students bring friends, they are literally tripping over each other and their leaders in the room. This is also not mentioning that they don't have any space for any kind of indoor large group activity or small group breakouts. If you're here on a Wednesday night, you'll notice that the middle school small groups, they meet everywhere. They're in every corner that we've got. They're outside the offices. I keep running into them after Wednesday night worship because I haven't learned in a month and a half that they meet there. They keep opening the door on them. And one of the groups even goes to Horizon Market because they are using all the space and more that we've got. The students and the leaders wanted to give you a visual for what it looks like in the youth room when they're meeting, as well as what a new space would mean for them. Watch this.
I'm Amanda Miller, and I'm a leader for 6th and 7th grade girls' youth. Last year, our small group met in the cry room, as an adult group met in the sanctuary. And as you could imagine, we were constantly having to tell the girls to quiet down. This year, we're meeting in the back of the main office, where the staff needs to access throughout the night. And just thinking about all the changes these students have gone through in their church life, it amazes me how strong their faith is.
I think that we should get an expansion on the youth room because our group got a lot bigger this year and it's getting kind of crowded, and some of the groups don't have a place to work.
Expansion that we're doing, and I'm actually really excited for it because it's going to lead to more kids. That means it's going to be more, they're going to learn more of their faith, and there's going to be a lot more kids that want to learn, and it's going to be great.
How wonderful would it be if we had enough space to nurture the seed of Jesus's love that was planted in Legacy Kids? A safe space students can call their own, no more shuffling and repacking our supplies for the night. A place where students can share their highs and lows without worry about being too loud or interrupted. How great would it be if our students had a space to grow in their faith and have their faith to get them through middle school, high school, and lead them into adulthood.
So our administrative team and staff looked at a number of different options, one being a completely separate building to our land west on Durango. We chose against that option, one, because it cost $1.5 million, and two, we didn't like being separated from the students. Our students could come here and leave without having any kind of multi-generational interactions. And we know that one of the keys for growing faith in students and kids, it is having multi-generational connections. So that plan was not our favorite. The preferred option, after looking at many variations, you've got on the postcard in front of you, and it's on the screen here for you. It is essentially an expansion around our current youth room. We did look at a plan slightly larger than this, but anything larger than this started pushing our infrastructure beyond what it could handle. A $1.2 million expansion, we had to move our wastewater system. So when I say we're trying to maximize mission and minimize brick, you're looking at it in front of you this morning. No need to duplicate bathrooms, very minor infrastructure changes. When you look out towards door three, you're gonna notice that Vicky and Sam's office is repurposed. It's meeting room on your plan. We have a third space that our adults can gather for classes. And if you look at the bottom on the meeting room, we have a fourth space that can be used for adult classrooms. So while the primary drive for this is student ministry space, we are picking up two more adult classroom spaces. Now inside the youth room, the large group space increases to roughly 300 square feet more than what Legacy Kids has. So if you're looking for a visual, you can go peek in Legacy Kids, and this space would be about 300 square feet larger. It doubles, just about doubles, their current large group size. Each of the eight classrooms are on the outside. They are 60 square feet larger than what we've got in Legacy Kids. Makes sense, because our students are like a foot taller than our kids, so that'll work out well. Now, not using the two adult meeting spaces, in this configuration, student ministry could accommodate 80 students at a time. And there are 96 chairs in the picture, for some perspective for you. If they had to use the two adult meeting rooms, we could hold 100 middle schoolers and 100 high schoolers at their separate meeting times. Now, in addition to this design, our roof is also going to be raised. This is a partial 3D render of what the roof would look like. It is similar to Legacy Kids, but different. Now, this is a partial 3D render because you're standing out by the garage and notice there's no sanctuary or anything else in the building. Everything else will still exist. These are just not all the way done yet. So to give you a sense of what it looks like, this is actually if you stood over here outside and that reconfigured door. This roof at its peak is 24 feet high. Legacy Kids is 26 high. So if you walk into Legacy Kids and pick up your kids today, the youth space is going to look very similar to that. So the question here I'm sure you've got is, what is the timeline? The timeline is completely dependent upon us, on how we think God is calling us to respond to this project. If after we turn in our 3-year commitment cards in November, the ad team sees that there's enough commitment and buy-in that we all feel like these 4 steps are what's next, then the ad team finalizes the plans with the engineer, the financing is finalized, and in early February, we come together and we vote yes or no. Now, the build timing is great because our bids would go out early in 2018. Our costs would likely be lower. If it's a yes in early February, groundbreaking would happen right after Easter in April, and we'd move into the completed expansion in January or February of 2019. It's also a nice timeline because our students are only kicked out of their space for 1 semester, just that fall semester. Now, the need for this is clearly now. Ideally, I would like to pay off debt before going into more debt, but our current situation doesn't really allow for that time. Our students don't fit now. They're not going to fit into the future because we don't have adequate space for them to invite friends or to feel comfortable where they are. Given our growth and success in Legacy Kids, in addition to the continued growth of Bismarck and the areas around us, the need is only going to get more acute as the time goes forward. Kids keep coming. They keep growing up to become teenagers. They keep inviting their friends, and they need more space than what we currently have. The need is now. We need more room to tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, everything that God has done for us. We need more room so students and adults can decide for themselves that their defining story, like for so many of us, is the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, the one who actually lived in history, died, and rose again. Joshua reminded the Israelites in his last speech, "Israelites, now fear the Lord and serve him with all faithfulness. Throw away all the gods your ancestors worshipped before the Euphrates River and in Egypt and to serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, choose yourselves this day whom you will serve. Whether it's the gods of your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites in whom your land you are living. Or we'd say the God of consumerism or materialism or atheism or agnosticism. But for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Friends, we love all kinds of stories, but there is only one defining story that should define us. What is your defining story today? For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Let's pray together. Lord God, like Joshua, help us to choose each and every day to serve you alone, for you to shape everything that we are all about. Help us to share the stories of your power and your might and love to all that we may encounter. Guide us as we seek to honor you and our commitments to the Legacy Onward Project. It is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.